Heavenly Father, open your word to us. Such a familiar passage, Lord Jesus. May there be something in it to stir our hearts tonight, that we might be changed, that we might be transformed. Lord, that we might not leave the same people that we came in to this place. Amen. Well, I don't know how your Christmas and New Year break was, but people have asked me, did I have a nice rest? And the answer to that is, well, no, not really, because the Friday after Christmas, so that's the day after Boxing Day, we got in the car and we left in plenty of time to get up to Stafford to do a wedding rehearsal for some friends who were getting married on the Saturday. And Google said 3 hours, and at 5 hours we had to ring them and say, we're going to be another half an hour. Can you move the rehearsal on a bit? 5.5 hours, we finally got to a little village called Acton Trussell, which was just south of Stafford. But in order to get there in 5.5 hours, we were quite stressed, really. Not because we didn't know which way to go, but because the sat-nav in the car and the sat-nav on the phone were telling us different things, and they each identified different hold-ups on the motorways that we were going on. And so we spent so much of the journey saying, shall we come off here? Do we come off here? Well, look, I need to know, Andrea, do I come off here or do I not come off here? What's Google saying? Well, Google's saying this. What's the car saying? Well, the car doesn't know what it's talking about because I haven't paid for that extra on my car. You have to pay extra on my car in order to get it to listen to the traffic report. So we go with Google, but she said, well, now go this way, or now go this way, or the hold up that's a bit further on. Is a 10-minute delay. Well, okay, we can do 10 minutes and we'd go past the junction of no return and it would suddenly leap to a 30-minute delay. And, oh, it was terribly stressful because all we wanted to do was to get to Stafford. That was all we wanted to do. By 5 o'clock, get to Stafford, do the wedding rehearsal, and then finally, having left the house at 12 o'clock, get something to eat and obviously have a wee. We had our goal. We knew where we wanted to be. We knew where we had to be. And we were searching all the way for the best way to do that. Tonight is a story of people who were searching for the right direction. Some of them found it and some of them didn't. In this passage, there are three groups of people that we're going to look at and three who we're going to follow through this story. The first is the wise men, the magi from the east, their journey. The second is Herod and his confidants and his advisors. And the third is the Holy Family as they respond to what has suddenly been happening to them over the last few months and possibly years. First of all, let's look at the wise men. It's their day after all. Well, tomorrow is their day, Epiphany, but today is close enough for us. The wise men, three things to notice about the wise men as they sought to follow in the right direction. Firstly, they'd been studying which way to go. There in verses 1 and 2 of our passage today, we read, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem and Judea during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Here are good people who've been studying what this is all about. They've been studying the star and consulting their charts and working out which way to go and which way to follow. They get to Jerusalem and they consult with the wise people in Jerusalem, with Herod and his people. And they ask the Jews, who is this man? Where do we find him? They want to know the truth of what's going on. They've been studying what's been going on. They're wise people. Wise people study, learn, find out all the information that they can. But notice, in the midst of all this study, they don't yet know Jesus. They've not yet met Jesus. They've not encountered this baby. And nor, according to this story, have they met with God yet, in his spiritual form as opposed to in his incarnational form of the baby. For all their study, God and Jesus are still strangers to the Magi. But they study, they look, they follow, they seek, and it gets them to Jerusalem and eventually to Bethlehem. The second thing is that they asked around. They asked people if they knew who this baby was. But they didn't find the answer from the people that they asked. They asked religious people. They asked people who ought to know about kingly things and royal things. They asked Jewish people who should know the history and should know everything that's going on. And at first, they didn't find the answer. Eventually, they hit upon people where they say, when they get to King Herod, they ask the people in the city, and they get no answer from them. So they're left to follow the star again. They're left to follow that intuition that has led them this far. Herod hears about it and is disturbed. But the wise men are open to spiritual intervention. They've followed God on a hunch. As they've studied and they've thought something special is going on here, as they've worked out what they think is the answer, the King of the Jews, and they're bob on right with that, they meet God in Christ in Bethlehem. And to him, they give their gifts. And at that point, this God that they've been searching for, this King that they've been searching for, not even necessarily knowing if he was a God, suddenly in that moment, as it was for the shepherds, there is revelation. There is an opening to the God who has been prompting them all this way. Here are people who are open to spiritual intervention. And we see that most clearly in verse 12 of our reading this evening. After they find out, give their gifts to the Christ child, they're warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, and they return to their country by another route. Here are people who have studied, here are people who have searched, and here are people who have found and been opened to spiritual intervention, have opened their hearts not just to learning, not just to the opinions of other people, but now have allowed their hearts to be opened to the spiritual intervention of God as he warns them in a dream. It's a lovely picture of how it is to find God, of how it is the journey that many people go on to seek the Lord. They know that there's something inside them that they need. They know that there's something inside them that they're missing out. They know that there's satisfaction that could be more than what they've got, but they don't know necessarily what it is. They might think it's this and they might think it's that. They ask around. What do you think? What do you think? Some might even come to Alpha and ask their questions there. Some might ask those questions around the table at the community lunch or as they're going down the bowls mat. Some might ask those questions in desperation, in the prayer time at the end of the service, or with a friend at work who they know is a churchgoer. Some may ask those questions in the quietness of their own room or the quietness of their own mind as they seek God and they cry out to him. For the wise men, that seeking, that studying, that asking leads them to Jesus. And in Jesus, they are changed from wise men to followers, from wise men to those who have met with God, from wise men to spiritual men, as deeply and directly and intimately God reveals his will to them. The second character in this story is Herod. And Herod, too, has been reading up on the scriptures. Herod, too, has been studying and doing his homework. We see that in verse 4. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. And they tell him in Bethlehem in Judea, they replied. And then they go on to talk about the prophets. Herod gets his Bible out. That's encouraging, isn't it? At that moment where there's that seeking for the Messiah, he's finally come, the Christ has been foretold and now he's come. Herod gets his Bible out. Well, I'm reassured by that. Except Herod's heart is cold. And Herod's heart is angry and jealous and selfish. Herod's heart cares only for his own power and not for obedience and worship to the Messiah. For all his reading of the scriptures, Herod goes in the wrong direction. Such a tragic direction, such a catastrophic direction. And yet here's a man who's reading scripture. The hardness of heart that makes scripture say something it doesn't, that allows Herod, in the name of all that is good, to be anything but, is a salutary lesson to us. If we do not read the scriptures as the wise men did, looking for the real Jesus, for the real reason to worship him and to reflect his glory. Herod also asks around, just like the wise men asked around. That's also encouraging. He doesn't just rely on his own interpretation of scripture, but asks the scribes and the Pharisees, asks the leaders of the religious peoples, what does this mean? And Herod gets a right answer and a true answer. They talk to him about the Messiah. They talk to him about where he's born. They tell him that this Messiah is a fulfillment of the prophecy. They tell him not just of his royal leadership, but also of his gentle leadership, of him being a shepherd to the people of Israel. Herod rejects the words of others. He stands on his own and says, no, I won't do that. I have read my scripture, and this is what I think I will do. In the face of the true meaning of it, in the face of those around him who say, don't do this, it doesn't mean this, Herod behaves differently. Herod was not open to God's spiritual intervention in his life and into God's spiritual leading of him. In verse 7, we read, then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may worship him. Secretly, secretly. Herod cloaks his heart. He cloaks his motivation. He shuts himself down. He does not want God to see what he is doing. He knows it is wrong. And so he shuts it down. He is not open to God's spiritual intervention and leading. In the way that the Magi made their hearts open enough for God to speak to them, as we said just a moment ago. Here again is a warning. Here again is a warning. We should open our hearts for God's examination, for God's searching of who we are, and for God's intervention in who we are. It is not enough for us to say, I will behave the way I want to behave. It is not enough for us to say, God's Spirit is not here to work in my life. It is not enough for us to be like Herod and say, I will be secretive. I will step away from what should be seen into what shouldn't be seen. The wise men, they sought God and they asked around looking for the answers, and they found God and were open to him. Herod reads up and reads his own things into it. Herod asks around and says, no, I will not be changed by what you've told me. Herod shuts down and will not let God change him, alter him, change his pattern. Finally, the Holy Family. They too have studied their scriptures. Because while we don't see them scouring the texts or the skies for God's leading, we know that they have heard the Lord. And even if we just park for a moment the angelic intervention that so regularly peppers the story of Jesus' birth and nativity, in Mary's song, the Magnificat, we see there that she is rehearsing and retelling the words of the Hebrew scriptures throughout the Hebrew scriptures, not least Psalm 9, which is quite a long psalm. I'm not going to read it this evening, but I do encourage you to look at Psalm 9 alongside the Magnificat from Luke chapter 1. There Mary talks in Old Testament terms about what God is doing with her, through her, what God is going to do for his people. It is as much a prayer about Mary as it is a prayer about the whole of Israel's history and their freedom. Mary's earnest prayer in Luke 2 shows us that they too knew their scriptures. They too knew what God was doing. They too had studied, not in any formal sense or academic sense, but in their knowledge of following God. They knew from Hosea chapter 11, verses 1, that they were fulfilling the escape to Egypt, which God and through Hosea had pronounced all those years before. Here they knew what they had to do, and they knew it was of God. But unlike the others, Mary and Joseph didn't need to ask anyone what was happening. They'd never needed to ask anyone what was happening, because they had always been open to the Lord. They'd always been open to his spiritual intervention. If this story teaches us anything, it teaches us that not everybody allows themselves to be open in that way. It isn't that God forced himself upon Mary and Joseph all those months before. Here were two people open to God's hand upon their lives, open to hearing him speak to them, open to seeing angels, open to the Spirit of God at work in them. The angel speaks to them in verses 13 and in verse 19, which was just beyond where we read this evening. An angel speaks to them in verse 13 when he says, "When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. 'Get up,' he said, 'and take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt.'" And in verse 19, after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel." Here were people who were open to God. Here were people whose spiritual openness made them obedient. Here was people whose spiritual obedience enabled them to be the fit parents for the Lord Jesus. We are called to be open to God's spiritual intervention in our lives. We are called to carry Christ into the world, everywhere we go, in everything that we do. And if we are to do that, then we are to do it as Mary and Joseph did, as people who are open to God's Spirit and God's spiritual intervention in our lives. We cannot just do it by asking other people. Not everybody will give us the right answer. Not everybody will know the right way. We cannot do it only by looking at the book, because there's so much of our interpretation in the reading of the book. And we are foolish and dishonest if we think that there isn't. We need that last bit of openness. That bit that the wise men discovered as they met Jesus. That bit that Herod would never do. That bit that the Holy Family have done right since the beginning, before Jesus was even known in their hearts. We're called to be a people following a new direction. For some, that new direction might simply mean becoming a Christian or not. And you might just think, well, let's just stop the sermon there. And we're very nearly finished, so don't be put off if I speak a bit longer. But maybe that new direction for you is not about whether you become a Christian or not, because many of you already are. Maybe that new direction is being open to hearing God spiritually talk to you and say, "Let's do this differently. Let me take you on a different road. Let me lead you to a different endpoint." Sorry, not let me lead you to a different endpoint, but let me lead you on a different road to that same endpoint. For Andrea and I, we must have done half a dozen detours on our trip up to Stafford. None of them were the intended route that I'd looked at that morning as we set off. Parts of them were, parts of them weren't. But there were country lanes we went down that I couldn't find again if my life depended upon it. But they were the best way and the quickest way to get to where we needed to be. Had we stuck slavishly to the route that I thought was right at the beginning, we'd probably still be stuck on the M4 to this day. Some of you might have been glad about that. We knew where we wanted to get to. It took a new direction, an openness to what our sat-nav was saying, speaking from wherever the sat-nav lady lives. It took obedience and openness to her, an acceptance that she knew better than us, trust that when we asked which way we should go, she would tell us the truth. We saw things we will never see again. Not that they were that interesting, but they were roads that we will never go down again. But we got to where we were meant to be. Tonight, I'm not asking you to end in a different place. Tonight, I'm asking you to travel a different route, if that is where the Lord is calling you. A different attitude, a different heart, a different ministry. To give up our will and to open ourselves up to the intervention of our Heavenly Father.